day, everybody. Everybody, this is Louis Ramos Sanacori, a.k.a. Taino Sagrado. This is Nahuac. This is, sorry about that. This is Guasabara Indigenous Radio. As many of you knew before in the past, I used to have a show, a very successful show called Nahuake Radio. Give a shout out to Nahuake community out there, as they are. Was in my mind, I guess. It just came out. But I'd like to thank everyone for being here. It's absolutely incredible night here in Corozal, Puerto Rico, Borinquen. I am honored to be here once again in the airwaves. It's absolutely incredible night here. It was a little rainy here in Corozal, but we need the rain because of it's been dry season here in December in Corozal. But when it rains, it truly rains. I'm here with some people, some of my friends, listening to me live and on the air, and it's kind of cool that people here in Puerto Rico are trying to spread the word about Guasabara Indigenous Radio, because it's so important that we educate ourselves. I tell people that Guasabara means war, and they look at me like, like I'm ready to incite a riot or something, but I explain to them that it's not a war with pistols and guns, it's a war to attain knowledge so we can empower the people for change, effective change, you know, in the culture and in the lives of our people here in the islands, Caribbean, also in the homelands up north, because as we know, there's millions of Caribbean folk who recognize their indigeneity in New York, Chicago, California, you name it. I think all the 50 states have some kind of Caribbean folk. So it's very important that we remember that there's two homelands. There's the main homeland, which is Borinquen, Dominican Republic, or Haiti, Isqueya. Also, we have Jamaica, We also have Cuba. So these are all the homelands. Bahamas, we have Bimini in Florida, a lot of homelands. And then there's the other adopted homelands, like Nalapi land up in the north. The reason I say that was historically the Taino people, as we know, they did travel up north, and many of them stayed. There's many oral traditions from the Nalapi people up in Oklahoma that they have the oral traditions. It was the Taino, the Caribbean indigenous, that brought them tobacco. So it's kind of cool that a lot of people live in New York following those ancient migrations. Also in Newburgh, hopefully there's a book coming out soon, Evan Pritchard. So, and he talks about how the Taino migrated all the way north. So that's going to be an amazing book when it comes out. So right now it's very important to understand that part of our culture of indigenous peoples throughout the world is basically dealing with music. Music is the key. Many times when you go to North American powwows, I don't know how many times, I'll be a billionaire right now if I hear how many times people say a dollar's worth of people telling me, wow, that drum calls me. That drum is something else. I really love that drum. See, there's something about music and indigenous culture that really touches the people. So right now I'm going to have some guests today, and we're going to talk about music in this show. We had some technical difficulties with the switchboard, so if many of you tuned in at 6 o'clock, I really truly apologize for that. That wasn't my intent, so or the show's intent. It's right now 6:05 Eastern Time. Atlantic Time is 7:05, so I'm just kind of trying to connect our guest here in the radio, and we just... Okay, we have my hostess. Her name is Tiama Shinaru. Sound check. Let's see if I hear you out there. Are you there?
Listen. I'm super excited for the show. I'm so thankful that he said he would, you know, come on. I don't use the word fan because I'm not a fan of anyone. I like to do my own poetry, my own music. But when it comes to music, Intikana is definitely like on my playlist at all times. So I'm so excited that he's actually on the show.
Hello, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, there's some, the switchboard is giving me a lot of problems. And I think it's because of the full moon, right? Is there a full moon out there today?
I'm here.
Okay, if we do get lost, please tune in again. But there's some issues with technology here, and I'm trying to figure it out, okay?
Okay.
So as you,
can you
as
hear me?
You talk, well, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you.
Okay. As you talk now, can you please introduce, okay, today's show is called Contemporary Taino Music Part 1. It's going to be a series of contemporary Taino music artists will be in here. So can you please introduce our you know, what's our guest name? And we can take it from there.
Yeah, I don't want to pronounce it wrong, though. So his name is... Yeah, go ahead. You do that because, you know, the Taino tongue is kind of picky for me.
Okay. I know him as Intikana. Kekokia. Kekokia. Kekokia.
Okay.
I think I'm pronouncing it correctly. And he can help us with the pronunciation. We did it wrong. Mm-hmm. Is he on the air now? Is he there?
I'm trying to get him on. I don't see him on as of right now. I told him 6:15.
Oh,
so
perfect. Okay.
He calls
so,
him at 6:15.
All right, perfect.
Yeah,
perfect.
You're letting,
so you're
letting,
oh, man. Huh? No,
yeah,
that's
you're
right.
Letting
that's right.
6:15,
I did say
okay,
wonderful. Well, Kiama, as we've been talking, we're going to have different artists from North America, South America, and, you know, to talk about, you know, how music is so important to our culture, you know, and it's very, very important to support our artists, our contemporary artists. You know, many times people are used to indigenous musicians when we talk about powwows, you know, we talk about different artists. But it's very, very important. I like to give a shout out to the Taino Awards. Candy out there, if you're listening, thank you for always honoring the musicians and the music people in our community. And Intikana, I remember I first met him in the Taino Awards when he received his award, and he gave a nice video introduction. You know, I mean, not introduction, but his music video. And I always remember that. I think that was like 5 years ago. So I always remember that. So,
Was it
so
Native
I'd like to thank Candy. I'm trying to remember now. I could remember the imagery that I saw. It was very mixed between traditional and contemporary. Maybe he can share. Maybe he can sing it, but put him on the spot, right? But it was definitely a rap.
I'm sure
rap
he
spoken
he
word.
Actually, he actually has a new album that's out.
Uh huh.
And so his new album's been out for a while now. Yeah.
Well, this was
so
like.
I'll let him, I'll
well, this
let
was
him
like.
Get into that, but.
Well, this was like 5 years ago, I believe, when Warishi gave him the award, in Taino Awards.
Mm-hmm.
I think I want to say 5 years ago. Maybe it was longer, but.
Mhm.
I know he used to help out a lot with that as well in the beginning. So, and so I'll give a shout out to Warishi and Taino Awards. You know, it's funny. I started this show Nawake Radio. Did you hear that? I had a very successful show, just strictly Taino culture, and specifically to Nawake community. So I'd like to give a shout out to them. You know, wherever they are, which is mostly the Comerio area, San Lorenzo. It's the southeast region. You know. Trying to preserve the language and the culture. Give a shout out to them. And basically, how you been doing over there? How's the weather in New York?
Ahí está más frío.
I know, it's like in the 30s, right?
It's freezing.
I know, I was telling the people, I was telling the audience, I think you heard me, that we have many homelands. Our main one is in the Caribbean, but so we had a strong migration that headed that was in the north, especially in the Lenape land, which is New York, eastern region. And a lot of our men stayed there. It was a one-way street. You went, and you never came back. You went, and you never came back. So a lot of our people came in canoes or on the eastern Atlantic shore in our canoes, and we never came back. So it's kind of sad, right? that a lot of these
Well, you know,
men
I'm Yeah, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
Mm-hmm.
No, yeah, in regards
right,
to that,
so what,
I think Itigana, that would be like a great like conversation with him also, because I know that his background, I believe, is Boricua, but and he's also from New York City, so, and I know he has a strong connection to the island, so he's the, like the perfect person, you know, one of the perfect people to speak to actually about it, because he has that type of connection. But I know I'm a first generation born here. My entire family was born in Puerto Rico. So,
right.
The idea of coming and never leaving and never going back, like, I look at my grandparents and I'm like, why are you guys, like, in your 80s and you're still here in New York? Go back.
Yeah. I know. Well, as people know, a lot of people know, I live here presently. I'm living here, and I will be transitioning soon to back to New York. But one of the reasons I came here was to learn as much as I can about farming and fishing, and I've done all that. It's incredible. Can I tell you something? I know this is not music, but it's incredible how the amount of bugs that are here. I couldn't imagine our ancestors dealing with, you know, insects, you know?
I think they were used to that.
Are like, huh? No,
I said, I'm
just
pretty sure they were pretty used to that.
Yeah. Well, I know specifically Puerto Rico, we have the coqui. And in the coqui, we hear that song every night. And I tell you one thing, mm-hmm. I'm so used to it already, the coqui, because of their
mm-hmm.
songs. You know, they're calling. It's a calling song, actually. It's a mating song. And you hear
mm-hmm.
them. And every night, there's these two frogs, two coquis right out my door. And they call each other for a long, long time. And sometimes I tell them, all right, hurry up and kiss already.
Oh,
<You know>?
Wow. That's beautiful. No, that is, like, so beautiful. The sound of the coquí is, like, the most beautiful thing ever. I've always said that.
Yeah, and it's a mini song. And it's weird because you can hear one of them. I don't know if it's a male or female, but it's really loud. And then the response, it's a little low. Then it gets high. Then they switch. It's, but you can definitely see the difference. They're definitely talking to each other, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then today when it's really raining, they all come out. You hear all these songs. You know, they're all calling out to each other, you know, but it's wonderful, you know. So it's just an amazing music is all around us.
Hold on.
And as many as people.
I have to try to hang up and do a three-way with Intikana, okay? So I'll be right back.
All right, no problem. Yeah, so I think it's important for people to understand that our indigenous ways, you know, wherever I go, even here in Borinquen, Puerto Rico, you know, there's music, there's always that sense of festival, you know, to enjoy life. And the way we enjoy life is through music. You know, I live next to an elderly couple, and they're, you rarely hear them, you know, you rarely hear them. They're very quiet. But once Christmas came along, you know, the after Thanksgiving, you hear this loud music coming from their house, all these Christmas songs. We call them Spanish aguinaldos, which is leading up to Christmas. And they play that old jíbaro music, which is the jíbaro is the culture between the second generation after the invasion, which is the indigenous and the European mixture. And they created beautiful music in that era. You know, mixing both of those traditions. And the music they created, you know, is very, very emotional, lamenting almost, you know. And then when you hear it, it's like, wow, man. And so it's very powerful hearing that every day now, because you can tell something is coming. There's a connection, a setup of something powerful happening, which is for Christians here is Christmas. And even if you're not Christian, I noticed that people are into the aguinaldos. You know, it's a cultural expression now. So it's not just for Christians. It's a whole cultural thing. So I think
okay,
I have
well, we're back on
Kiama
we're
back
on
the line.
We're on the
get
line
back
now.
On?
Yeah, we're on the line. I'm on the line with Intikana himself. So we have our
Oh, wonderful.
Right now. So,
wonderful. Hey, welcome, my brother.
Peace. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Oh, awesome, man. Sorry for the technical difficulties. I don't know if it's the full moon, man, but my switchboard went blank. I just lost the whole show. I had to do it over again. So thank you for being patient.
Oh, wow.
You know?
Wow. Yeah,
yeah,
no worries, no worries. I'm with it.
And I think it's the full moon, right? Today's the full moon. I see the moon, like, really shiny. So it's a great night for a song, right? I got to put you in a spot later. Maybe you could sing a song or something. Dang. So
in Tikana, we were discussing prior to you getting on the call, we were discussing that you have a new album. We were discussing pretty much how Elder Sanacorín met you at the Taino Awards in person. So before he gets into asking you your questions and stuff, I just want to say that I appreciate you getting on the show. Like I said, I don't use the word fan because I'm also an artist myself, but, you know, you're definitely on my playlist, and I was explaining that to Elder Sanacorín, so that's why it was, like, so important for me to get you on here. So we want you to feel free. This is your platform. You know, you could talk about your music. You could talk about your art. You could talk about, you know, your background, whatever it is that you feel that you need to express. This is the perfect opportunity to do it so your entire Taino community could be aware of what Intikana is doing and where he's at, you know?
Awesome. Thank you so much for doing this. Thank you for inviting me to, you know, have this conversation with y'all. And, you know, it's really amazing what y'all are doing and bringing attention and awareness to. And I'm honored and humbled. And, you know, I would definitely, if you have any questions specifically, of course, I want to answer the questions. But there's a good number of things to talk about. but blessings to everybody.
That's great. Did I pronounce your name correctly? And it was Intikana Kekokia?
Intikana, yeah. Well, it's Kekoeya, but yeah. That gets a little complicated. Kekoeya, but Intikana is fine. Intikana, you know. I know Intikana,
wow.
Kekoeya. That's the full name, but yeah, Intikana.
Wow, that's great. Now, I don't remember the last time I saw you was in the Taino Awards. Was that like 5 years ago? 6 years ago? Was that? I don't remember. You won an award, right? I think it was
six, maybe more.
Yeah, it was
years ago.
Yeah, I remember you paid a video
it
that
been
night.
More than that.
Really?
It might have been like 7.
Yeah. Wow, 7 years. Because you played a video that night, your video, and you were singing.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
What was
yep.
Yes, it was very powerful. I remember that. And I remember being very proud because the words were tight. I forget what the song was called, though. But
yeah,
it was
I think
video.
At that time, it was probably at that time, Boricua Guerrero, at that time. Because I know that was around the time I had put it out.
Yeah, it's coming back. That's right. And they had a lot of imagery, right, of different, like of the island, I believe, and all those, the diaspora. I remember
mm-hmm.
that coming
mm-hmm.
to me.
Yep.
Man, I got to get a hold of that. Is that song on YouTube or something, that video?
Yes, it is. Yeah. I got, so that last project that I put out was part of a whole project called Native Eyes, which, you know, is available on all platforms now to listen to. But basically, it was a hip-hop education project utilized to, you know, show people, you know, who they are in terms of, you know, facilitating workshops in the classroom. So it was, you know, for teachers and for, you know, educators to, you know, teach self-awareness, knowledge of self, and specifically Native Indigenous identity and, you know, African identity and, just wanted to speak about some layered things, the history. So that was that project. And then my new project, which I just put out, is Alkaline Venom, which, you know, we just put out, which is 10 tracks. Musical director was Zen Medina. So he produced 90% of the music. There was also production by Break B. Lou. And, you know, there's a lot of features on that album, which I'm really, really proud of. So much work. Stick of Dead Prez is on it. You know, Akia Becker, who just recently transitioned and passed away, unfortunately, he's on the album.
Oh, sorry to hear that.
You know, he blessed us, you know, and he's a roots reggae legend, you know, so incredible, and actually one of my favorite artists. And, you know, that was really, really sad, you know, because, you know, it was shortly after the album was put out, which was unexpected. Also Nini Ali's on the album. Keith Murray, Murder Mook, Maya Azucena. They have a violinist, Mireya Ramos, you know, Latin Grammy Award winner. We got Maya Azucena, who's a singer. She's a Grammy Award winner, really dope, great friend of mine. There were a great number of people. L.A. Blacksmith, he played instrument. Dr. Drum. You know, we had musicians.
Wow.
You know, we had the boom. We had the hip hop boom bap sound mixed with, you know, musicians playing instruments. You know, and, you know, lyrics and the raw energy of hip hop, but also infused with, you know,
right.
Jazz, some R&B, some roots reggae, bomba, you know, things like that.
Mm. That's amazing. That's how I gotta get that. Is it in a video form or did it come out already?
It's on all digital platforms. You know, so it's just Alkaline Venom.
Okay.
Anybody could search that
wow.
up, Alkaline Venom. And just in case, A L K A L I N E and Venom V E N O M. And I actually am putting out the video for the listening party because I did a listening party, so I just did like a recap video, which I just posted on my social
right.
media. We're going to do a concert in a number of months, which will be an actual live performance
right.
of the album.
Nice.
Yeah, just we've got two music videos out so far, one featuring Keith Murray, one featuring Chris Rivers, you know, who's also Taino, you know.
Wow.
You know, that's really cool.
Wait, you said the title is called Taino?
No. The song is called Keep Shining, and it features Chris Rivers, who's a Boricua, Puerto Rican, Taino artist.
You know? Oh, I got it. Okay, I got confused. I thought the song was called Taino. Wow. Well, that's great, man.
Yeah.
Are you familiar with a lot of the musicians, like, in the North America? You know, like Superman, a rapper, and a lot of the guys from Canada. Man, you got to get up, man. You got to do a collaboration with those guys one day. That would be awesome, you know, with those artists.
Yeah, that'd be really dope. Definitely. That would be beautiful.
Yeah, because they're putting out a lot of good stuff, but somehow, sometimes they always forget the Tainos. I think, you know, I believe that you're that trailblazer, you know, that you can help.
Thank you, man. Create that bridge.
Yeah. So I just want to give you a little homework there, right? But I'll help you too. You know, I'll try to send some emails out because I already emailed one group in Canada. You know, that they help children and youth. You know, rap and stuff and edit videos and so on and music. Man, I would love for you to connect with them. I'll give you the information. Okay.
There's some really you know, dope ones. You know, I know Tribe Called Red is really dope. You know, I love what they do. You know,
right.
I also got to meet Frank Wong. You know, he does great work. He's from Pine Ridge. You know, there's a number of Native artists that do really great work.
Yes. They're really doing great. You know what? Let me ask you. What was your inspiration in the beginning? What was your vision of becoming a music artist, Taino and so on. Can you just take us to the beginning, to the very beginning, that first vision you got?
Well, you know, when it comes to music and my initial experiences, you know, writing period, it all started, you know, when, you know, my dad was in prison and I used to write him letters and I was really, really young. And, you know, I would go to school to learn how to write. But, you know, I was just more eager than the average child because there was a lot I wanted to say. So, you know, when it came to class dynamics of when everybody else was writing, they had to keep skipping me ahead because I was writing so much. Like, I wanted to express certain things to my dad and I wanted to learn how to spell certain words and put together certain sentences. So, you know, I was on it early with that. And then... what can I say? From there, you know, around 12, I would say, I started taking journal writing to actual, like, rhymes. So I had did journal writing for a while, but when I hit 12, I just wanted to put them in rhyme, or just rhyme. And, you know, I did that for, like, 2 years to the point where people wanted to hear me, like, perform. And I was still kind of like, I don't know. So 14, I did my first performance. I started battling, you know, and, you know, I grew up born and raised in the Bronx, so it was a lot of, like, rap battles and stuff, and I did that at an early age, and then I did that for a number of years, And then I got into poetry. I started touring, you know, doing poems and spoken word and competing locally, regionally, nationally, and, you know, did a bunch of that. Then got to learn about theater, started incorporating elements of theater into my work, and directing, and then started just really taking a strong hold of documenting my journey. So, you know, I picked up a camera and started teaching myself how to edit on Final Cut Pro, on Photoshop. I took a program to learn, you know, audio engineering and stuff like that. So a lot of the work that I do is homemade, self-made. So, you know, a lot of what I try to put out there is things that I see in terms of my visions and talk about things that I feel are important and talk about them in a way that, you know, is relatable, that's universal. I try my best, you know, to make it international, to make it unity-based, not just me and my identity and who I am, but all those around me that I love. And, you know, I have a wide extended family. So, you know, just try to make those connections there. But it's all through music, through multiple mediums of film and photography and performance, music, film, and, you know, community activism.
Wow, that's a good marriage of all of that. You know, I remember many years ago when I went to United Nations, one of the indigenous forums, and they were talking about media, that it's important that indigenous peoples right now, more than ever, use the media as a way, you know, video and radio, whatever, to really hit home the message, the education. That's why I was inspired to do a radio show. But for you and the music, videos and all that, that's amazing. Those are our new weapons, right? And trying to teach.
Yep.
And put our message out. So I like to honor that in you that you're doing that. Do you edit your own video, or do you do that on your own?
Yes, I do.
Or?
Yes, I do. Yes.
Whoa.
Yep. I edit all my videos. All my music videos, any videos that I put out, I edit them, and I have some people usually help me film them, you know.
Wow. They're definitely a true artist in that sense, you know, modern contemporary artist, music artist, to do all that. That's not easy. I've seen my friend do it for the wrestling, you know, the video promos, and that's not easy.
Mm-hmm.
Takes effort and time, you know, and it's like, wow, that's deep. I'd like to give you the props for that. Are you working on a video now, presently? I think you mentioned you are working on a project, right?
Yeah. I just put out a video today on my IGTV and my YouTube and Chicana TV. Yeah, I just put out the recap of the Alkaline Venom listening party. So, you know, I had the listening party for the album already, and, you know, I'm just really trying to put out content as much as possible. So, you know, people are gonna see a lot more content. I dropped, you know, some visuals yesterday for something. I'm doing a radio show now. I'm co-hosting for them BX Boys on Rough Riders Radio. I'm doing that right now. So I'm
going to
be more and more out and about.
Wow, that's beautiful. Yeah, you got to keep that going, that momentum. Now, that's interesting you mentioned about, it's called Adrenaline. What's the second word? Adrenaline.
It's called Alkaline. Alkaline.
Oh, Alkaline
Venom. Alkaline Venom.
I was close.
Alkaline.
Alkaline.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Okay. I've been promising the listeners that the Facebook page is going to come up soon. Once that page is up, last year, I'm going to hit you up to see if we can get that link so we can post it on Facebook radio page, you know, because
that sounds amazing. Yeah. I mean, if anybody's interested, just go any of my social media. My name, Intikana, Intikana. That's my name for all social media platforms. On YouTube, it's Intikana TV, so people can subscribe, you know, hit that notification bell so people can get notified when I put out a new video and, you know, stay in tune. If people stay in tune now, you'll get a lot of updates because I'm going to be updating frequently.
Oh, wonderful. What has been your challenges? Like, your one challenge, to, you know, something that's been that kind of maybe try to distract you or try to knock you down so you won't do what you're doing along the way when you first started. If you want to share, I don't know, it's up to you. I know some challenges, you know, you've confronted along
the
way.
From when I first started it? From when
you know, from,
I started
when you first started,
from
right?
It.
Yeah.
Like,
you always hear these stories of challenges, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I mean, there's a lot of challenges, but, you know, a lot of struggles that come with, you know, being passionate about something and, you know,
right.
having obstacles, you know, and that can go definitely for anybody. A lot of my, I think, struggles are, you know, relatable to other people because other people may be dealing with certain things as an artist, but, you know, it's...
Sure.
A lot of it is even, you know, the industry itself, you know. When I was coming into the music industry, you know, it was already collapsing
right.
as an industry. And then, you know, becoming a whole is changing. It's always changing forms. So you
right.
always have to keep up with a lot of things. And, you know, also the manipulation of the system of the industry itself, like how it gets manipulated
oh.
to... best serve certain types of artists or certain types of themes or messages as opposed to other ones that, you know, are more uplifting and stuff like that. So there's a lot of things and, you know, there's a lot of evil entities. Wherever there's lots of, like, amazing
uh-huh.
things, there's also, like, evil entities too. So, you know, having to learn how to avoid those kind of energies and learning how to stay true to who I am. And, you know, there's a lot of things that I could really, I guess, go in. But I guess what department of my life would you want to talk
right.
about?
Wow. Well, you know what? That's great you mentioned that because, you know, we had a show not too long ago on Caribbean indigenous or Caribbean spiritualities, you know. We just always talk about those. Mentioned, you know, those negative entities, right? Or those energies, right?
Mm-hmm.
Trying to knock you down and stuff. Wow. But it seems like
yeah.
you persevere. What is the tools you use to persevere, to go on, to keep doing it, you know? If you want to share that, you know, what ways did you go for it, you know, confronted those challenges, you know? Was it music itself or was it people or I know, I put you on the spot.
Yeah, no. I mean, you know, I guess it's different things. So, I mean, that's a big question. I'm going to do my best to answer it. But, you
yeah,
know, in terms of things I've been through, yeah, you know. Not quitting, not giving up, not...
Right.
Man. I mean, meditation helps, you know, being around people who really know me and love me and care about me is important,
nice.
You know, being outside in nature, like natural environments, you know, centers me, you know, even if it's like being on a rooftop to get a good perspective or a good view, because sometimes, like, you know, in the hustle of everything, you get so lost.
Yeah.
And being a part of the city, you don't get to see everything around you because you're you know, surrounded
right.
by buildings and things like that. But just getting a good view helps.
Right.
And remembering who I am, you know, even though I'm always still learning who I am, but just not forgetting, you know, all that I've already been through. There's a lot of points where it's easy to give up. It's easy to quit. It's so easy. It'd be so easy to just
right.
stop. But I feel I have a purpose. I feel I have a mission in this life. And, you know, there's sacrifices that come with that purpose, and I have to fulfill it. And that's what I'm focused on.
Oh, that's beautiful. See, because I want the listeners, especially the young people out there, to listen. Because, you know, a lot of people I know, my career, my life, you know, there's a lot of distractions, a lot of negative folks, you know, a lot of challenges. And the ones that make it are the ones that are able to not to listen to those distractions, right? You know, not
yeah.
to cave in. But Man, you said something awesome. You said you surround yourself with people who love you. That is awesome because mm-hmm. that's the key right there. If you hang out with the wrong crowd, the naysayers, you're never going to make it. So, man, that is powerful you said that. That's medicine right there. You know, you surround yourself with people who love you. Wow. You can't. Wow, that's amazing. That's the key, right? People that support you no matter what. Mm-hmm. That's what love is. Wow. Well, you know what? I'm going to make a promise. If you can recommend a song that we can use in Guasavara Radio, I will definitely play it as an intro to our show, our next show.
Nice.
And all shows. Just give us a recommendation, what song. Because, you know, Guasavara means war, but our war is not violent. Our war is about educating, you know, through music, through teachings, and so on, testimonies like yourself. So if you can pick a song that's going to be great for our show, we're going to play it in every show as an intro. That would be awesome, you know?
Okay.
And
just let us know.
Yeah, this is great. And Kiyama, you're on the air. Are you there? And, she has
yeah, I'm here. I'm just, you know, I'm the co-host, so I'm here.
Yo, ask a question. Go ahead. Go for it, man. Go ahead.
No, I mean, I just really wanted to ask him in regards to his spirituality, where in his music, well, because I, you know, like I said, I listen to his music, so I know where his spirituality is in his music, but what is the thrive for that, you know, and just your spirituality in general, you know, if we could discuss that a little bit, being that we are on Indigenous Radio, we do incorporate that in our, you know, radio.
Yeah, my spirituality or my beliefs, my inspirations and what I see in the world or how I interpret it, given my experience and my study and, you know, the things I've learned along the way. I don't have a very simple, fixated way to define that, but my understanding is that anything when it comes to creation and how this world works, I respect that process, energy, entity, entities, any and all things that have to do with creation so much that I respect that I'm not able to fully fathom everything and just understand that I'm a product of creation. So I respect it enough to say I don't know. At the same time, from what I study and learn, I like to pay respect and homage to deities and certain views on that topic from our ancestors, be it Taino ancestors, African ancestors, ancestors all over the world, Ethiopia, the Dogon, and Kemet, and throughout different countries that I've either gone to or that I've learned myself. In terms of my own background, is very complex and in a lot of places. So I guess it makes sense that I do receive inspiration from those different places. But I wouldn't say I'm one particular religion. I wouldn't say I respect everybody's beliefs in what they believe. I think the main thing is to be a good person. No matter what you believe in, as long as you follow certain principles, morals, and values, that's great. And I'm with that. That's what I support. And, you know, there's certain names I might say, or there's certain energies, you know, nicknames that I even create or use based on, you know, our ancestors from Orishas and, you know, different belief systems from different time periods. I have a long stream of names that I pay respect to, but it all has to do with ancestors. It has to do with those before us and the unseen, the invisible, that which is sometimes hard to explain, even like my answer.
I wanted to point that out there because, like I said, as a, you know, child born here in New York City, and, you know, I have my Puerto Rican culture and I grew up with it. I always have my foot in the door with the Taino culture and, you know, the Ifa and Yoruba because I have exposure to both. So that's been a struggle for me personally. So to see you incorporate both cultures in your videos and in your music, it's like, okay, there's another person out there who has a kind of same identity as me, but I'm not the only one who feels this way, or, you know, in that context. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
That's why I love it, you know?
That's what's up. Yeah. Yeah. No, thank you. And thank you for supporting it. Thank you for, you know, spreading the good word. You know, it's all learning in process. So any song that I make, anything that I create is me in that moment sharing what I believe, what I know, and growing to the next experience and the next lesson and the next moment. Yeah.
Ashe. Louis, any other questions? Anything you guys want to discuss? Go ahead, you guys are free to. I already got my question out the way. So.
That's great. Thank you. That was a great question. Awesome. Great answer. Let me ask you a question, Tigana. You know, traditionally in the old ancient communities in Borinquen or whatever, you know, everything was regional, you know, with village to island, you know, and so on. You know, everything was so regional. We didn't have phones, you know. Of course we didn't have phones, but we managed to communicate somehow. And music was a mainstay, you know. It was always down the jarritos, you know, where we all got together. All the villages would get together and play their music, share their songs or their poetry, whatever. And then I think now we live in this era of communication, right? But what I find is, even though we have all this technology, I still find people resist, you know. People want to continue to stay regional. You know, we don't want to expand. Or some people don't want to expand. They don't want expand is the wrong word. Or share, you know. It's like a regional mentality, but yet the technology is there. Do you have any insights into that? Maybe why? Maybe that happens. Or I don't know. I'm just thinking out loud right now too, as I was listening to you before. It's like with all this technology, with video making and so on, certain people are still like inclusive instead of, I mean, exclusive instead of inclusive, you know what I mean? And stuff.
Yeah.
I wonder if you have any insights on that, since you deal with a lot of people, you know?
Well,
do you find that
I
in
would
music
imagine.
Industry?
Well, if I'm understanding correctly, I mean,
yeah.
I think there are people who are reluctant to share in a lot of places, and you know, people are greedy often, which is why the world is the way it is, because of greed in general. But I would imagine I wouldn't be able to speak for those people or those individuals specifically. But I would be able to say that I think it is better to share. That's how we rely on each other. That's how many incredible things were created and nations were built through sharing, through every person. It's not just the people on top or having this whole hierarchy system, but everyone, where people are able to live a life of happiness based on progress, based on, you know, respect and love and fundamental elements that we all need to be okay, to be good, you know, to be able to live our lives. And I think when people are quick to, like, hold back and not share, that has to do with something, them thinking there's not enough, you know, there's not enough. So I got, or they're making up for something else that they feel lack of. Because someone who's abundant-minded and, you know, things big is nothing to share. It's nothing to share because it's just almost second nature. Whereas someone who has a lot, it may be harder to share, you know. But I think there's a lot of lost trust over generations. You know, we were so divided, so broken up, you know, all the things that happened to us. So it's very hard for any of us to trust another. A lot of people get duped and played and do have a good heart and they try to do certain things and then people take advantage. So, you know, I think every case is independent and situational, and we just gotta understand that we do gotta share, make sure we know who we're sharing with, and make sure it's all love and transparent. And we're helping elevate, you know, and When it's not good, it's okay to let go. You know, it doesn't have to be a war, but we can let go.
Wow, that's great. That's awesome. Yeah, it was a heavy question. I put you on the spot. Well, you're good, bro. You're reflecting, you know.
Thank you, man.
But yeah, you know, not too long ago, I saw one of my favorite is Superman from Crow Nation and Christian Parrish, and he was saying how hip hop really helped him, you know, growing up in the midst of drugs and violence on the res, and hip hop really, you know, motivated him. And it's taking him so, you know, great places now where he can do his own music. Was that an inspiration for you too growing up, you know, the whole hip-hop scene and stuff?
I'm sorry, say that again?
Hip-hop and rap. Like, did it motivate you? Was that one of your motivations, you know, growing up? You know?
Yes, definitely.
Yeah, cause sometimes it gets a bad rap. You know, that whole hip hop scene gets a bad rap.
You gotta tell us who's your inspiration. Like who was on your, you know, your tape player, your CD player. Like who you was bumping to. You know what I'm saying? Like that's, you have to explain
there
that.
There you go.
I mean, my work is so hip hop that I couldn't even.
I know.
Yeah, but from the beginning. I mean, I'm from the Bronx, so hip-hop has always been around me, a part of me, you know, there. But, you know, there's a lot of artists I look up to and, you know, artists that
right.
I respect and stuff, you know. And I've been
sure.
blessed to be able to meet a lot of people that I respect and have looked up to growing up. And, you know, I think, too, the biggest thing is I find myself being inspired by people who are not only great artists, but good people, you know, good people outside of whatever they're creating musically. I get attached to that. I like to know that good people are winning and people that got good intentions, even outside the music, and are living, you know, what they say and what they put out in the world. But I mean, there's so many artists. I wouldn't even be able to go through all the names, but you know, I mean, I study everything, even artists that I'm not fond of. And I know hip hop, you know, is not very well perceived because we don't have control. We don't have good perception because we don't have control of our own industry. So when we think about the major conglomerate corporates that control music in general, from the top distributing companies to the Live Nation to Clear Channel, when we think about the radio and TV and concerts, you know, all those different entities that control those different sections and departments, they're not from places where hip hop is from, or at least, you know, in terms of its creation. You know, the people who control those companies are not from the Bronx, they're not from the Caribbean, they're not from Jamaica, they're not from Puerto Rico, they're not from Africa. You know, so when we think about how it's perceived, how could it ever be perceived in a good light when it's controlled by the same entities that hip hop is even fighting against, right? So when we think of the roots and when we think of the source of, you know, hip hop and what it does and what it's meant to create and inspire, we have to have control of our own media outlets and everything. And, you know, some people do it for the respect and for the love. Some people do it for the money. We all got to be able to balance and know how to do it for not just the love and respect, but being able to economically provide for our villages. We got to be able to do that too. I listen to it all. I study it all. And, you know, I understand that even though it doesn't get the amount of love I would want it to in terms of its own self-respectability, I'm okay, you know, because I know the truth. I know the truth, even if it's not told on TV. You know, I know how it started. I know how it came about. I know how it's grown. I know how it changed. I know why it changed.
Right.
And I know what I represent to maintain the integrity of it. So I just try to do my best as an artist, as a person, to represent my culture, my art form, my home, you know, my tribe.
Wow, that's great.
My nation.
Yeah, that's
awesome. Now I have a question. I want to get it in before I give loud back to you again. With all of that being said, so as an artist, right, I would say as an artist who is similar to myself, you write about, you know, things that, you know, are of significance to you. You're not talking about cars and, you know, money and all this stuff. So will you ever decrease your ability to write in that aspect of your ability to express yourself freely as a poet? Would you ever, like, put that, like, down on the back burner because it's not reaching the audiences that are mainstream, or are you content with where you're at right now? You know, like, I think that's really important because a lot of people, they don't understand, like, when, you know, it's easy to sell out, but it's hard to be yourself and maintain that balance. You understand what I'm saying? So that's, like, one of my questions for you at this moment.
I think, if I understand your question, I think...
Like my question is, people don't respect the real. A lot of times people don't respect the real, you understand? And a lot of times people want to hear what they want to hear. They don't want to hear about the decolonization of our lands. They don't want to hear about, you know, Monsanto killing us with the food. They don't want to hear about that. So as an artist who freely expresses that, and that's actually something that you express because it's of a concern to you and it's a way of life for you, do you feel like, you know, you would ever feel where you have to, you might have to write a certain way or do a certain project to make other people appease to you more? Or are you content with where you're at right now? Like, nah, I'm good. Like, I'm a write because this is me, you know?
I think for me, I with my music, you know, I've realized that I want to be able to be, I want to bring people together. You know, when I think about my intention for writing, or when I'm writing, I think about, who's this for? Why am I writing? Is this just for me? Because I have some pieces that are just for me that I never see the light of day. And I think about, who's this for? What's the purpose of this rap? Sometimes it's just to vent. Sometimes it's just to get off whatever I need to. But if I'm really focused, I'm trying to think, who is this going to affect? How can I impact someone with the way I say things? And I think as I grow smarter, I think what I want to be able to do is, no matter who a person is, they can feel and hear my song and respect my truths, no matter how I put it out. And I've learned lessons throughout the process. Like, I've had opportunities to kind of, like, downplay myself, or I've had opportunities where certain corporations have reached out to me and I haven't, you know, followed through with a certain opportunity. You know, they were, you know, invites by Nike to work with Nike, to do something with Adidas for a number of different companies. And, I mean, it may or may not have been the best choice at the time, but in those moments, I chose not to, you know, for whatever reasons I chose to do those things. And there were a good number of them where some people be like, yo, why would you have said no? And I just, at the moment, for whatever intuitive feeling, I didn't want to do that particular thing, and I didn't do it. And I've always gone against the grain in that way. And sometimes I've self-sabotaged the opportunities through doing that too, because sometimes certain entities just really wanted to respect my work and show some level of love to it. So it's always balanced, and each thing is a case-by-case scenario. But I'm always going to be me, you know, always going to be me as I grow, as I evolve. There's going to be different things I want to express. I'm not rhyming like I was when I was 16. When I was 16, I had certain things on my mind. It was a lot more, I would even say, mature, or just, it was rap, but it had a certain kind of, I think my intention was to please my audience of that time, which they wanted certain things, like the oohs and the ahs and certain things, where over time, the more I grew, I felt like, I don't care what nobody thinks. There's certain songs that they were, I'm not even rhyming all the way. Like, it's, you know, and I chose to do things in that way because I wanted to. But I don't want to go against the grain just to do that. I don't want to try to be different just to be different. I want to be myself, whatever that means, raw, in the good and the not so good, and put it out there and let people judge it. People are going to judge whatever I do, however I do it, you know, and I just have to make sure that I feel happy, that it's me, that I know I'm not selling my soul. A number of people have asked me that, which is interesting, you know. Please don't sell your soul. You know, which, you know, I definitely couldn't and wouldn't do that. That's why I'm also aware of those evil entities, because I've seen a lot of stuff. I've been in music for many, many years, and I've been, you know, in enough rooms and certain spaces where I've seen a lot of stuff. And, man, I'd rather really be with certain people, like certain people that are about certain things, that, you know, care about community, that, you know, have certain intentions.
Mm-hmm,
but don't
mm-hmm.
get it twisted. I do think that we need money. We do need money.
Right, right.
It's not
mm-hmm.
a game. And I don't worship money or, you know, the symbols on the paper, but I recognize what it can accomplish and what it allows to happen. You know, it allows me to put out more projects. It allows me to put out films and music, and it allows me to help other people. And, you know, it
mm-hmm.
provides. So I
mm-hmm.
want to be able to provide on a grander scale. So in the future, I don't want to limit my mind or my thinking to invite opportunities, but rather be very open to see how can I help my people, how can I help my family, how can I help myself, how can I be in a better position than I am now. And I'm not fully content with everything. I'm happy and grateful
mm-hmm.
to the Creator and to my supporters and to everybody, because there's a lot that I experience and live that in other places in the world would be a dream. I'm always cognitive of that, and, you know, cognizant of that, and I have to be respectful, and, you know, but I'll admit that there's more that I want to do. There's more that I have to say. There's more that I want to show people in terms of my vision. I haven't even reached what I want to reach yet. My potential is still up there, and I'm jumping to try to grab onto it so I can show people. So, you know,
mm-hmm.
I just think
right.
limitless, no boundaries. You know, and infinite potential. That's how I think.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. Well, keep that support network going. People that love you, man, they're going to get you there.
Yeah.
Continue to get you there.
Mm-hmm.
Keep you there. I should say keep you there. You know? That's
I mean,
great.
Like I said, I'm really picky with who I listen to, you know, as a poet myself.
Mm-hmm.
I don't put my poetry out there, because I do it for me. I don't do it for likes or for money. You know, that's just a passion of passions. I was 8, but I'm very picky with who I listen to, and you know, I definitely have you on my playlist.
so I asked
you that question because, you know, like I said, like I'm picky. I'm into certain things. Like, you're not gonna hear me listening to a regular okie dokie song. You're gonna hear me listening
yeah.
to something that's gonna have me sitting there for a while thinking like, wow,
mm-hmm.
like
mm-hmm.
so, you know, I acknowledge your music because it's on that level.
Thank you. And with that said, you know, I do wanna keep a certain level of not only authenticity, but I wanna maintain certain messages, even if I change the way I come into the song. You know, like, they'll always be there. The foundation is always there. You know, I'm going to avoid certain things that I don't want to talk about, and I'm not going to, like, for example, in the beginning, early arc of my journey was a lot of pointing out what's wrong with the world. Pointing out what's wrong.
Okay.
This is wrong, this is wrong, this is wrong, this is wrong. That's wrong, that's not right, that's not right. Look at this, that's wrong. And now I recognize the power of putting attention to what is good, what does
nice.
Need to be preserved, what actually is
nice.
Working and needs more support. So I'm trying to also shift the way I think and the way I put attention to things. So those things are going to change form. So it'll always be real. It's just going to always seek to elevate. If I can say that.
That's
wonderful.
Well,
you know, Elder Sanakori, his idea is to make, he's also an artist in his own way. His idea is to make a Taino album. And I told him that I fully support him in that. And if he wanted me to add anything to it, you know, I would be there. And I had mentioned you. I had said, damn, yo, like, I wish you could get Kikama, you know? And he was like, he's going to want money for that, Kiyama. I got no budget.
If you heard the new Griselda album, you hear in the intro, there's a Raekwon on the intro. I'll do something like that. I'm going to do a Raekwon. Let's just do the Griselda intro.
Oh,
hey,
my God.
There
you
go. I was just putting it out there, you know.
Well, listen,
the
listen,
intro,
listen,
right?
Listen to the intro.
Now, artists need to get paid,
like
man.
That.
Well, artists need to get paid. That's the thing. Don't worry,
yeah,
we'll get
know,
that
like,
funding,
like
man.
To,
somehow.
Like to do a verse and, you know, song or whatever, you know, I'm responsible for people too, you know what I'm saying? So obviously that support does mean a lot. But to just talk, like, for example, there's certain people projects where I say something, I can record, say something, and just show support, you know what I mean? So I'm down to acknowledge what y'all are doing and support how I can. So,
well, I just want to add in there, the Taino calling song was actually written by Sana Cori. So if you ever went on YouTube and listened to the Taino calling song, that's actually his work. That's his song.
Nice.
But that's just a preview of what he. Yeah. So you know, I was telling him you need to make an album, and kind of
well,
I got
you know
to
what?
Agree.
If I,
so.
You know what? When I get the funding, you're gonna make the video, easy, kind of. You know, you're gonna make the official video. We got the videographer right here, man. Oh my God! Don't worry, we're gonna get the funding, man. Okay. So listen, we totally ran out of time. So. Maybe we'll get you back on another show and you can sing or something. But we totally ran out of time, man. I can't believe it. So we asked you some heavy questions. Thank you for those. Oh man, and I know we asked you some heavy questions and you did it. Appreciate it. Damn, thank you. Wasabara Indigenous Radio. It's about putting the information out, and especially today through music. Awesome.
Thank you so much. Last shout out to everybody, you know. Make sure y'all check out social media, you know, Intikana,
right.
YouTube, Intikana TV, Alkaline Venom. Check out the album. You gotta hear it. You gotta hear the album and you gotta let me know what you think.
Yes.
You gotta listen to the whole thing.
Yes.
I downloaded it.
And recommend that song for us. And you got to recommend that song to us, okay? We're going to play in the intro of the show.
All right. Thank you. So listen. If you don't listen to the album, I don't know.
No, I'm going to listen
I
to it, definitely.
It.
I want to download it, man. I want to download it. All right.
Listen,
cool, bro.
I got you. I pre-ordered it.
Yes, you did. Yes, so thank you. Thank you so much for the support. I wish y'all much success. Have a great week and much love.
Yes. Much love. God bless you all.